Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 82 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Agreeing with God's Reason. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Well, Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for today. And we thank you for the power of your spirit. And Lord God, we do ask and pray that in this, we set this day and next few hours of this day, we set it aside to focus on our relationship with you and our relationship with your Son, our relationship with your Spirit. So, Lord God, truly it is joy to the world. And we ask and pray, oh God, that revelation would come to us this morning of this great joy to the world. That this revelation would hit our hearts, that we might be changed from glory to glory. For your sake, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lesson 82 of the Scribe, Unlocking the Prophetic. My subtitle today is Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Agreeing with God's Reason. There's something and there's power in agreeing where two or three gather together, agreeing. When we come together, there's a supernatural spiritual connection is made with agreement. And when we discover, I've been teaching last few weeks on the spiritual atmosphere of the reason, there is a reason on why we move. There's a reason that we do what we do. And that reason, what I'm hoping to accomplish is to expand your definition of the reason in which you are here and why you're here. Because the reason is the spiritual jet fuel, if you will, that propels the vehicle through the Spirit. It's discovering. There's people all over the world. They're everywhere. People are trying to discover, why am I here? What am I doing? What is this all about? And now today, the worldview is there's no true absolutes. Nothing's absolute. Everything's subjective to the individual. So how in the world are you going to have any point of truth and peace if you're living in an atmosphere that anything goes? There's no absolutes. Nothing's really true. And so we have so many of those conflicts today. And you say, well, Alan, it's I don't think it's that bad. Well, today I don't care what gender you are. You can say you're a different gender. And now, and then that's supposed to be respected, that you're, in other words, it's like, I'm like, all right, so does that mean one day I can say that wall's not there? Does that mean that the wall's not there? Now, the reason I point this out is not about the gender or about the wall. The reason I point this out is we need to understand that what's at stake here is absolute truth. There is absolute truth. And the atmosphere of this earth, this day that we are in, if the atmosphere is being changed, is the gospel itself being attacked? Not directly, but indirectly. Because the prevailing wind today is this thing called tolerance. And then with this thing that we call tolerance, and there again, I do believe that we need to be tolerant in situations, but the term or the definition that's being sanctified as a holy terminology is tolerance. And what's happening is the very fabric and the very truth that there is absolute truth is being undermined, whether you realize it not with this prevailing wind that we are in the spiritual world. Your absolute truth about the gospel is being undermined and attacked. There is absolute truth. And the Word of God is absolutely true. I've talked with a fellow, it's been back in the summer, but talking about, well, Alan, how can you, that people would be moral without the laws of the Bible. I said, well, how would you know the word moral without the Bible? Well, people are born moral. I said, okay, but where do you get the terminology or the thought moral? You didn't come up with it. You got it out of the Bible. Can you hear what I'm saying? So I call it, it's a type of spiritual plagiarism where the human soul is trying to take credit for what God has put into place. Therefore, we've got a problem. We've got the dark side is plagiarizing the laws and the thoughts of our God. I don't like it. How can it plagiarize and do that? It causes the human soul to take credit for what God has said. How do we know that it's wrong to kill? Where do you get it from? Well, if you don't believe in absolute truth, you say, well, it's in the moral fiber of humanity not to kill each other. Somebody need to tell Hitler that one, right? So we can't bank on what we've got to grasp as a prophetic people is that absolute truth is being undermined. And it is so slick, it is so stealth. Yet what happened, the way the building falls is it goes at the foundation. Doesn't knock the windows out, doesn't start tearing the walls from the top down. It starts going for the foundation. So when it falls, it'll all fall at once. So as a prophetic people, I want you to be totally aware, totally conscious that what's at stake now is that we have people in churches, all probably more than not, that don't believe this is the Word of God anymore. Well, I mean, that's like telling water it's not wet or something. How do you do that? It's amazing the mental calisthenics that you can go through when you're trying to pervert truth and what you will receive and accept as truth. Now, I want you to understand something. With Christ, the best emotional feeling, the message of Christ is redemption and forgiveness. The message of Christ. Redemption and forgiveness and mercy. The message of Christ. And today we have humanity saying that that we need to have mercy and forgiveness. We call it tolerance. Without the gospel, without redemption, we are in a dangerous place to turn somebody loose with forgiveness and mercy without redemption. Redemption is what allows us in our spiritual faculties to remain in absolute truth. Now, so let's agree with God's reason to change this atmosphere. Now, what I wanted to share a little bit as we're moving forward in this reasoning understanding is God is recovering man's reason. And last week I showed you how Adam lost his reason when he gave up being responsible. This is very, very important because being responsible in life, there again, is not in vogue. To be responsible is not in vogue. It's not the end thing to be responsible. The end thing is to be how tolerant can you be of being irresponsible. But Adam, here's what happened to him. See, the dark side knows when you stop being responsible that you lose your authority. Dark side knows that. It's after the authority. God's given us authority. He's given you authority. There is authority in Christ. People all the time are telling, Alan, I don't have any power to overcome. And I say, well, you got to be responsible. Our definition, our spiritual definition of responsibility has been skewed as something that's a weight and is bad for us to be responsible. It means you're not going to like it. Now, chances are you won't. But it has nothing to do, but it has everything to do with the power to overcome, the power to move forward. You can't give up being responsible. So Adam lost his reason when he gave up being responsible. So we see that God has a reason for your life. He had a reason for Adam. Has a reason. God has a reason for you. But it's to have the reason without the power to walk in your reason is not worth a whole lot. You can discover your reason, but you need the power to walk in your reason. How do you get that? By being responsible, a person that is responsible. Now, this responsible is a spiritual term. Being responsible is a spiritual encounter with truth. The one that is responsible or is in charge is the one that can respond. So we see that with Adam in the garden, when he responded, he blamed it on Eve. Had Adam stayed responsible, but Adam didn't stay responsible. He passed the blame. So the first thing that comes up in the human soul at any time is it's just the first thing. You can go through a drive-in window at McDonald's and get something that you didn't think you ordered, and we're always blaming somebody for something. In other words, we're walking in a place of perfection and everybody else is in the wrong place. Right? Well, you know I'm telling you the truth. The first human response is to blame someone. Now, my point is not necessarily to blame. My point is this. My point is we are constantly giving away authority. That's my point. We're constantly giving away authority. Have you ever felt like you're living through life? Have you ever said this? Well, nobody pays attention to what I say. Anybody felt that one? Now, I hate to give you the bad news of that one. It's because you blame a lot of people for a lot of things. You're not walking in your authority. Now, how do I know that one firsthand? Because it's me. I know how it works. I've been guilty before you. But I've recognized it and I repent daily. It's a constant battle of the soul not to blame others for everything that's wrong. You can say, well, Alan, they did it. Well, maybe they did. But it's got to be fixed anyhow. How do you do it? By taking responsibility. Now, responsibility means the ability to act in the authority of the reason of the kingdom. Now, here Adam found himself in a situation that he could operate in kingdom reasoning. Kingdom reasoning was he needed to own everybody's behavior, including Eve's. Right? Adam should have owned it. Adam needed to own it. Now, watch this. To follow Christ is to follow the reason God created you. Anybody want to see more? To follow Christ is to follow the reason God created you. Now, believe it or not, God did not create you to sit in front of a TV with a remote watching TV all day. That wasn't in His design nor His plan. His idea wasn't that you could fish all your life or that you could go to the beach all your life. God's idea and His reason for creating you was not for your pleasure. Somebody say, oh, me or amen. I know, me too. I'm another one. But that's not the reason. Now, does He allow us to have some? Yes. Of course He does. But that wasn't the reason. That wasn't the reason He has created you. And it seems as though the main thing that's on our mind is how quick I can get to some pleasure. How quickly can I get there? I'm running after pleasure instead of reason. And keep that in mind. You must own where you are in life to have the authority of the reason in your life. You have to own where you are, and that's okay. It's not a big deal. In your life, to have the authority of the reason in your life. Now, how am I going to get to where God has called me to be? It's because you're going to take authority of where you are. And if you will take authority of where you are, everybody that did you wrong, the things that you've done wrong, if you take it all into account, say, I want to own it all. I'll take it all to the cross of Christ. Then what happens is you have gained supernatural authority to walk in the reason God put you here. Now, owning where you are gives you reason of responsibility. And in turn gives you your authority. Now, y'all should have that one down by now. What does a kingdom reason look like? Well, we want to discover if we're going to be operating in kingdom reason and the reason of the kingdom, what does it look like? And I'm going to give you something here. To live in your reason is the only place you will feel complete. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes!
Did you know that there is, have you ever come to church, been in worship? Something supernatural happens here. See if you can identify. You got to try to catch what I'm saying because there's not words to say it. I'm not saying there's not words. I'm just saying evidently I don't know how to say it. But go with me here. You can be in your quiet time with God, worship music going on, reading or something, or you can be in prayer. You can be riding down the road. You can come in here to church on Sunday. And preacher says something or worship's going on. For some reason or another, you're focused. And through that focus, you have somewhat cleaned up your thinking, your thoughts. You're not selfish. You've repented somewhat to God. God, I want to be in this service today. I've taken time to be here. I would love to encounter your presence. You know, we kind of go through these rituals or whatever. But then you hit a point. Identify with me. You hit a point that you feel kind of complete. You feel kind of clean. You feel content. You feel... does anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, when we hit that spot, that sweet spot of in the Spirit, we feel the love of God, the peace of God. And we hit it for moments. Sometimes we have longer stretches. Sometimes we just have short moments. When we hit that sweet spot, we're living in that moment in our reason. So what I'm suggesting to you is, if you want to hit the completed place, it's in your reason. And the repentance, our worship, and all of that is to align us with our reason that we were created. And you'll hit a little spot of just being clean, being content. It's just like everything's going to be all right. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And then we'd like to feel it again when we're not there. But we've been there. And if you've ever been there one time, you'll always long to get back. Even though we don't always accomplish it. But we're trying to. What I'm suggesting is we start aligning things up with the reason that we were here. We were created. And when you line up with the reason that you are created, you are walking in forgiveness of others, mercy. It's what the world's trying to give off as tolerance. You walk in true spiritual tolerance. Can anybody hear me? The prevailing wind of the dark side now, intolerance, is what the church has supposedly always had. We tolerate you. Come just as you are. The difference in the message is, come as you are for redemption. We do tolerate. But if you should notice how the tables have turned, now we're being accused of not tolerating. But we say, come as you are, right? Now the question is, if people come like they are, do they have that encounter of redemption? Because once a person gets the encounter of redemption, you'll never go back. because you have encountered something you've been looking for. It's the point of being complete is when humanity discovers and walks into their reason that they're here. You can't change that through tolerance. We have tolerance to get you to your reason. And when you get to your reason, yes, we're tolerant. But if you take tolerance with no redemptive reason, you've got a world of tolerance, which is no absolute truth. And with no absolute truth, there is chaos. And what's being tolerated grows. When you come to Christ, what was in you that was tolerated has now been redeemed. Is anybody with me? So as a prophetic people, we've got to see this prevailing wind of this atmosphere that's being cited as tolerance. We are more tolerant than anybody. Come as you are. We dare anybody. Come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. Can you see that the beginning message of the gospel has been hijacked by the world? Yes. Anybody with me? Anybody crying with me?
Yes.
So as we, what happens to the church now since this prevailing wind of the dark? Our voice of being tolerant, come as you are, will get quiet. Because, oh no, that sounds like the world. We don't want to be tolerant of all these things. Yes, we want to be tolerant with redemption in mind. So are you with me? So I can move on. All right, keep that in mind as we go. So to find your place of completeness is to walk into this reason. Now let's go with this one. This is the season that we're in. You can see that. Micah, prophet, lived in his reason. He had a reason to be here. And he prophesied God recovering his reason. Here it is. Micah spoke. Now, this is 700 years before Christ. He prophesied this. And he spoke, "But you, Bethlehem or Ephraim, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Now, I want you to start seeing, as a prophetic people, we're looking for signs, we're looking for signals, we're looking for clues from God of what he's saying. God uses words and he uses symbols because he has more to say than words can say. That's the reason you got to catch things of the prophetic more than just words. You got to feel it. You feel it. It'll hit you. You're like, oh, I could feel it when I said feel it. Did anybody feel it when I said feel it? Isn't that wild? I don't know what she's feeling. It's a reality of spirit. It's a circumstance of a reality of experiencing something that I don't have words for, but all of a sudden, we say it makes me tingle all over. Well, does it? The answer is yes, because that's your body responding to something. Now, watch this one. Start catching this symbol. Though you are small among the clans, though you're all of a sudden here, God has a reason. And he's going to use something small to announce and bring the biggest thing on the planet to the earth through. Prophetically, symbolism. Get it? God doesn't use kings and castles and princesses and famous people, rock stars and everybody. Everybody's wanting to convert rock stars. God never used them. I'm glad if they want to say the Lord's Prayer. It tickles me. But don't think they're going to convert the world to Christ. He's going to use you. That's the authentic plan. Why does he use the small clan? Why? Because we are so far away from trying to take any of the credit. Where our message is so big and we're so little, it's hard to mistake it's God. right? Come on, somebody. We can't mistake this as God. We know better. Now watch this one. So keep that. So among the small clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. Out of you, it says, for me, one. So we're small. We're one. He's going to let the one come out. Here's what Isaiah prophesied of the reason. This was 50 years after the previous one, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be where? On his shoulders. And he will be called what? Wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government, that's a pretty big deal here. And of the peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. And over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will do what? Accomplish this. The zeal of the Almighty will accomplish this. It's my prayer that everybody under the sound of my voice will be invaded with the zeal of God Almighty.
Yes!
The zeal of God Almighty. And look at it. And it will, what will accomplish it? The zeal. Now, you're not God Almighty, but he can transfer his zeal. Come on, somebody. It's this zeal that he can transfer to accomplish this, to accomplish this kingdom. I'll be very transparent. The zeal of God scares me. It does. Every time the zeal of God came upon me, after I stood back from it, I was tremendously embarrassed at my behavior. When I calmed down, backslid just enough to look at myself. Does anybody know, anybody got a witness of my flesh here? You got to backslide just enough to be able to look at yourself and be embarrassed. It's called the zeal of God. If I said or done anything that accomplished anything, I don't know it. But the only thing I can tell you, more people were touched if I was operating under zeal. I didn't have no idea what I was doing than when I thought I did. Has anybody got a witness? It's called the zeal. Now, here's the reason I'm saying that, prophetic people. You need to push the zeal button. It's okay. It's okay to say amen. It's okay. You say, well, do I have to zeal like that? No, you don't have to zeal like that. I'm just saying push the zeal button. What that means to you. Because God, power and authority is going to make you feel zealed up. It's a zeal thing. Are you with me? So, this is what happened. Now, it was prophesied. Not only was Jesus prophesied here about what I want you to get, not only was Jesus prophesied, but the way God was going to accomplish it was prophesied. It's true. Listen, I can have zeal, but can you imagine if God ever turned his zeal on you? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Now, we come along down the story, the prophecies here. Then we have Mary comes on the scene. This is scripture here about Mary, and it's called it's called a song. It's the scripture is sung a lot in churches this time of year. It's called the Magnificat. That's what this scripture. Now, here's what the word Magnificat means. It's Latin for "My soul magnifies the Lord." Now, what was happening to Mary right there? The zeal of God accomplishing things hit her. When the zeal hit her, guess what happened? She magnified the Lord. Now, there's one thing to magnify through your head, and there's another one to do it through your heart by the power of the zeal of God. I don't know about you, but it just, the possibilities of God wanting to express his zeal through me excites me and scares me. Anybody know what I mean? Magnifies. Here's what it looks like. It was Luke 1. We're going to read it here. The Magnificat was Mary's response to her growing realization of just what her reason in God's plan was to be. We say, well, Mary, yeah, you know, Mary, I mean, come on, Mary's special, not all, you know, all of this sort of stuff. Mary is no special than you and me. Mary physically carried Christ. It's all symbol. The physical stuff is symbol because we all carry Christ. We carry Christ. She carried him for 9 months. We carry him forever. Come on, somebody. We carry him forever. So she felt the zeal for 9 months. We feel it forever.
Yes!
Forever. Now, my suggestion to a prophetic people today is you've got a zeal button in you, and you can push it or you can leave it dormant. That's right. Because if you're born again, God's done put that possibility. You've done been programmed with it. You can either minimize it or maximize it. It's up to you if you want it to run. I'm just telling you a true spiritual phenomena that is in every born-again believer. Because it's through this zeal that God accomplishes His kingdom work. And you don't have to be outwardly throwing stuff in the air. But inside is leaping with joy. Now, let's move forward. Here's the scripture. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. Here comes the zeal. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers of their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors. Then it says that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then went home. God had a reason in sending His Son. Prophetically, I want you to see the symbolism that hidden in God's reason was God was wanting somewhere and some way to express His zeal. This is not all about you. This is about God. God's a big God. He's created this earth and the heavens. He's created you and I. Part of the reason that we are here is to express the zeal of God. And in that expression, the kingdom of God comes to this earth. Let me say this. When you operate in the zeal of God, don't worry about trying to do it right. Has nothing to do with that. You could say the gospel backwards under the zeal of God and people will get saved. Now, we're going to go on with this just a little bit here. Now, the angels responded to this same reason. Here's what the angels did. Look at this one. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel. What were they doing? They were doing what the reason they were created. They were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." The reason. It's important for us to find some absolute truth. The absolute truth is God hasn't put you here to make you comfortable and give you everything you want. God has a reason which trumps your reason. But when your reason comes in line with His reason, the zeal of God will be in your heart for the reason of God to be performed to this earth. Now looky here, you will find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger. Now, I'm a farmer. That manger they're speaking about is a dirty place. I don't care what picture you got from Christmas. Mangers are dirty. A manger is an old feed trough. It's where you put your hay. That's what a manger is. They fluffed the hay up a little bit. Jesus was born. Listen, got to catch it. God went to Bethlehem for Him to be born. He's going to take the clan that's the smallest in which to bring the greatest thing to the earth. In a manger, in a dirty place. God's brought you out of a dirty place. That's right. He was birthed in your heart in a dirty place. That's right. Come on. Why? Because that's how God does business. He is birthed in the dirty places. That's the reason we're tolerant. Come as you are. We're tolerant, yes. Are we tolerant to sinners? Yes. Homosexuality? Yes. Come on, somebody. I needed an amen right there. Why? Because Jesus is birthed in a manger. That's where He's birthed at. It's God's redemptive plan. Because God's got a reason He did it all. It's His reason. Here's the shepherd's response. They didn't do too bad. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed and at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned. What were they doing? What was the reason of them being there? Glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Prophetic picture, signs and wonders. What is it? Jesus is birthed in a dirty manger. He is birthed in your heart. Then what happens? The reason is proclaimed, and they give glory unto God. They praise Him. They worship Him. I would today that someone that comes in here, that Jesus will be birthed in their manger. Does anybody will agree with me on that one?
Yes.
I pray that today that we'll see Jesus birthed in a manger. In our candlelight service, Lord, I pray that your spirit, anyone that comes in here today, that if you've not been birthed in their manger, I pray today, oh God, that Jesus will be birthed in any manger that comes in here that has yet to receive the birth of Christ. We proclaim it, we declare it, we ask it in Jesus' name. Now, a promise is fulfilled because God has a reason. Is anybody sitting in here? You can tell the difference when God's given you a promise. I don't know how else to say it. You know what I'm saying? There's some things in your life you want, and there's some things God promised you. You know what I'm saying? Is anybody with me on that one? Here's the only thing I can tell you. A promise is fulfilled because God has a reason. When God gives you a promise, He's going to fulfill it because He has a reason to. He's going to do it. It's just the way it is. The enemy in the day that we're living in is trying, in this lack of absolute truth, is trying to get you to waver on the truth. The truth is God gave you a promise, and if God gave you a promise, He's going to fulfill it because He's got a reason bigger than yours. We're going to get into that one. Here we have Simeon. You remember, this one's not spoken about much at Christmas time. I don't know. I just kind of like it. It's in Luke chapter 2. And this is with Simeon. Now watch this. He had a little promise here. Watch this one. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Somebody say amen. I want it too. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now that's a pretty big one. There's a lot of people sitting in here. God has promised you things before you die. Now watch what happened to him. Moved with the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." He said, "I'm ready to go home now. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for what? For revelation to who? The Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." There's a reason. There was a reason. Simeon was a sign. God made Simeon a promise. God fulfilling that promise to Simeon was a sign to the Gentiles and to Israel. The reason God's going to fulfill the promise He made to you is because when He fulfills it, His reason is it's going to be a sign to others. Anybody, I couldn't say it again if I had to. Did you get it? God has a reason that He's going to fulfill your promise. And the reason is for others. So God's reason to fulfill it's bigger than yours. Your reason is about this big and God's was this big. When God's reason, when your reason joins God's reason, things happen. Called alignment of reasons. You want me to teach you on that one day? Alignment of the reasons of God. My goodness, I have run out of time. God will fulfill all of His promises because He has always had a reason. Now here's what I want you to catch this morning, and we're going to have to close here. What I want us to catch is God has a reason for everything that's going on. He has a reason for this church here. He has a reason for you being here today. Did you know that? You thought you woke up and thought you'd go. God's got a reason for you being here. You said yes to His reason. It's the reason you're here. You didn't come here because food's great. We don't have any. You said yes to a reason. God said, don't forsake yourself gathering together. God had a reason. You answered, you said yes to the reason. So you're here. Here's the point. God's reason has a promise attached to it, and he's going to fulfill it. The reason you're here and saying yes to the reason is so the promises of God are fulfilled. You didn't know you being here has that big a deal, did you? It can ignite, it can release the zeal of God and his kingdoms. Anybody want the zeal of God? Now be careful what you ask for. Listen, I've seen the zeal of man and I have seen the zeal of God. The zeal of God will give you a bad reputation, trust me. Listen, with the zeal of God, your complete reputation goes right out the window. Now I'll let you reconsider and I'll ask again. Do you want the zeal of God?
Yes!
Do we want the zeal of God? This whole time of year, Jesus being birthed in the manger, all of that was promises being fulfilled because God had a reason. I'll tell you how much zeal God had about it. He created his son, jumped inside of him and came. You realize how much zeal that took? Do you realize the same zeal that jumped in Jesus and came is in you? Let's stand. Listen, my challenge to you is to push the zeal button. It's in you. Allow God in this season to express his zeal through you. And watch the hand of the Lord. Watch the promises of God be revealed in this earth. So, Lord Jesus, be with us.